Welcome in, Iowa Hawkeye fans, to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report. I am Luke Myers, Joey and Stin here as always. All in all, pretty good week to be a Hawkeye. The football team won. Basketball team's got the season off on the right foot. Joey, would you like to take a victory lap on your preseason bold prediction?
Yeah, I would like to. I'm not really proud of it. I'm not glad it happened because that means that the football team was in a dark place for a little bit. But has anybody else's come true yet? Sean's might have.
No. Sean's was like the opposite of yours. He was like, people are going to be like... So it's a little bit premature for Joey to have his victory lap because technically they said that Petrus got benched because of an injury, not strictly based on performance.
I would say if Petrus...
I didn't say it was strictly based on performance. I said he will not be the starting quarterback by the end of the year.
Okay, well,
someone might take over due to injury, but Petrus will not get his job back.
Okay, we'll see. Okay, so it's early still.
He's not getting his job back.
Well, I'm just saying, it's early still to anoint yourself king on
also,
that prediction.
Also,
there's still three games left.
I have a little bit of a I don't think he's actually hurt. I think they're saying he's hurt to like make it look like he's not just flat out getting benched. You know what I mean?
I agree with you on that. That's just what they're saying.
It's to send him out with a hair of dignity, so to speak.
Let's go to the game now because Iowa won 17-12, another terrible game, but at least we won. So Petrus played what, two drives in the first quarter, and then he got pulled for Padilla.
Three. I think it was three,
but yeah.
But we didn't get a single first down of those three, and then
he had maybe his worst pass of the year on third down.
Two of them, he skipped them. A foot and a half in front of wide open receivers.
And so they brought in Padilla, and they got a touchdown on the board at the end of the first quarter with Tyler Goodson run. Tyler Goodson was great in this game. Throw that out there. So was the offensive line, which it's Northwestern. And then we got another touchdown in the second quarter. He felt good going up 14-3 in the second half. Whatever.
Second quarter?
Into the second half.
Oh, going into the second half. I'm not exactly sure on that, but from that point, Brian did anything he could to slow down the offense.
Oh, my God.
He's like,
it was miserable.
Guys, we don't want to put up too many points here. We got to keep this kind of close.
Yeah. 14 points for Brian Ferentz is like when Ohio State consistently scores like 35. Like, that's what Brian Ferentz thinks he's achieved with this Iowa offense when we get multiple touchdowns within the same game.
The most points that Brian Ferentz has had that you should score in a football game is 28. 14 is the most you can get from your offense, and if your defense special teams can also get you 14, that's a win.
Yeah. If you're talking about anything more than 7 points per quarter, that is just fucking lunacy in Brian Ferentz's book.
Yep, but hey, Northwestern's had our number for the last how many years? So, and the defense still played very well, in my opinion. Getting that terrible taste out of your mouth is huge. And that's kind of what this game did. Granted, Northwestern still had a shot to beat us at the end, but
naturally,
I don't know. Like, obviously winning is the most important thing of all. And it does make us feel, you know, yes. It does get some of that shit taste out of your mouth after the last 2 weeks. But I'm also not going to, like, sit here and be like, all of our problems are solved.
They're not.
Because we didn't do shit in the second half, and, like, we still almost blew it. And more of that is, you know, I don't know about more of it. A lot of that is just because our play calling got, like, so conservative that we set football back, like, 50 years, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know. That wasn't the type of win that you would have liked to have after those last two games and be like, all right, we got something cooking. It was just one of those, thank fucking God we didn't lose again. Now let's kind of move forward.
Yeah, and there wasn't like really any highlights. Like Goody had a good run or two. Belton had two interceptions. He played great. Did Joe Evans have a good game? I think I've seen a lot of people hyping him up. I didn't look at his numbers, but...
Yeah, he had the highest graded game, well, second highest graded game for any Iowa player behind Tyler Linderbaum. And highest on the defense by a pretty wide margin.
And then Taylor, obviously, still the best player on our team, in my opinion. But yeah, 17-12, wins a win, 7-2 now. Last year we finished 6-2, so putting it on that spectrum, I feel like if you would have asked Iowa fans at the beginning of the season if they would have been all right with a 7-2 start, what do you think they would have said?
Yeah, okay, so...
And I hate doing that, too. I hate doing that, too, but...
On any given year, to be 9 games into the season and be 7-2 is pretty good. Like, it sets you up in a good spot to, like, have a 10-win season, which, by all accounts, is very successful unless you're one of the top, you know, three or four programs in all of college football. And... So maybe retrospectively we will look back at this season and be like, oh yeah, you know, if we do end up with 10 wins, yeah, it was a good year. But the reason that it's different this year and that 7-2 is a disappointment is because of how we started. We were 6-0, number 2 in the country, coming off the best win in Iowa City in a generation, and then to put up 14 total points in our next two games when Iowa was firmly in the driver's seat to win the Big Ten West and compete in the Big Ten championship game. That's why 7-2 feels hollow and disappointing right now, because while the record is good, it was an absolute train wreck for the 2 weeks preceding the Northwestern game, and expectations went from, like, legitimately, we could be in the college football playoff to, can we put up, like, 20 points in an entire game? So, yes, 7-2 is good, but how the season started and to where we are now, you can't say that it's anything less than disappointing.
Yeah, and it does make me feel better to see that David Bell just doesn't circle the Iowa game every year. He circles the Michigan State game as well because he had 200 yards receiving in that one, upset the number 3 team in the country. So, and... You know, you guys hate it when I say this. The path to the Big Ten championship game is still there. We need Wisconsin to lose, and we need Purdue to lose to Ohio State, and we need a win out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and technically it is, but it shouldn't have to have gotten to this point.
Oh, no.
It should have been,
no.
It should have been strictly on Iowa's shoulders as to whether or not we were going to make it there. We should not have to rely on other teams to lose in order to make it, and we put ourselves in that position after 6 weeks, and that's not where we're at currently. So, well, yes, technically there is a slim possibility that we could still make it to the Big Ten championship game. It just does not create the same type of excitement that that thought did a month ago when Iowa, like, could not do anything wrong, you know, so... And I get that it's there, but it doesn't make me feel the same way as it did before the 2-game skid before Northwestern.
Let me ask you this. Let's say Iowa does win out. How do you feel?
I mean, it'll be a good end to the season. And so if Iowa wins out, we'll have a 10-win regular season. There's absolutely no reason to turn your nose up at that, but I'll always have the thought in the back of my mind of what could have been. Like, 10-win seasons... do not come around that often for, like, programs throughout all of college football, let alone in, like, Iowa City. So you can't be disappointed by it. Like, we'll look back at it and be like, that was another successful year. There's always just going to be the little part of you that thinks, what could have been?
And I'll be perfectly honest. This is my thing with football. It's my biggest gripe about football. If you lose more than one game, you're eliminated from meaningful postseason play. So... I mean, at this point, if we went out 10-2, like Austin's saying, good season. But what do we make a bowl game that is more or less meaningless? It means something to the players, but on a national base, on a national scale, it doesn't mean anything. Playoff or bust is basically what I'm saying.
And now I'm at the point where if we don't get to Indy and we don't win the Big Ten Championship, I want to go to the Rose Bowl, sure. If not, get me to Nashville for the Music City Bowl, because that would be a fun-ass trip. Would you guys go on that one?
Probably not.
What?
I just wouldn't be able to, because I'm going to, not to brag, but I'm going to Punta Cana like the week after New Year's, so wouldn't be able to swing two of those right in a row.
Quit bragging. I'd be there. I'd be there in a heartbeat, and I know I could get a couple other Iowa fans there with me.
You'd be hard-pressed to get me to travel for a bowl game. Like I said, that wasn't...
Have you... To Nashville, though?
I can go to Nashville and not have to go watch the Hawkeyes.
Yeah,
that's
but...
That's true. You can go to Nashville and not have the prospect of, like, your trip being ruined by watching a horrible game.
The thing about the bowl game is, though, it's not like your trip gets ruined because it's not like it's a college football playoff or a Rose Bowl game, you know?
It would certainly put me in a worse mood, though.
Yeah. I mean, look at... I just went to Madison 2 weeks ago to watch this team, and I vowed to not go to another away game the rest of the year.
Joey, comparing Madison to Nashville is a crime.
I'm talking about the product. I'm not talking about the atmosphere.
Oh, okay. I'll be in Nashville.
Like I said earlier, I can go to Nashville and have a good time and not have to watch the Hawks. It's a stressful thing.
I don't know. I'm not as stressed over bowl games unless it's a big one. But, whatever. So now we move on to Floyd Rosedale, Minnesota this week. And honestly, I knew Minnesota had a great running back, an NFL running back for the year, but he tore his Achilles in week one, right?
Yeah, you saw that thing curl up into the back of his leg.
Nothing
and
more
gross
when I...
announcers go, hopefully it's just a cramp.
And this Minnesota team is so confusing because they lost as 31-point favorites to Bowling Green. And then who'd they lose to this week? It was nobody
Illinois.
Very good. Oh, yeah, Illinois.
The HTR lay.
So they're about... They're right on track to kick the shit out of us this weekend.
Probably. Speaking of, Iowa has not trailed against Minnesota since the fourth quarter of 2015.
Was that 16?
Okay, either way. They've gone like 228 game minutes without so much as trailing against Minnesota. That's crazy.
Was that what David Eichel tweeted out today?
I saw a couple different people were running with that stat.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. Minnesota
does agree, baby. Suck it, David.
Minnesota does not have a good, their wins are Miami, Ohio, Colorado, Purdue, Nebraska, Maryland, and Northwestern. And they've lost to Illinois and Bowling Green. So my head's thinking, oh, they're just not a very good team. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be lying if I said that I watched a lot of Minnesota football this year, but I think, not to as low of an extent, but I think that, P.J. Fleck and Scott Frost are kind of, similar in the fact that there are a lot of smoke and mirrors where, they do enough things to make people think that they're good, but in reality, they're just really not that great. So, Minnesota had their 2019 season where they were, 10-0 or whatever when they came to Iowa City and then they beat us. But since then, and really kind of before that, they haven't been much. So, I don't know. They're kind of just another one of those Big Ten West teams that are just meh. Not great, not horrible, just kind of meh.
I've got a hypothetical for you guys. Do you want it right now?
Oh, I love hypotheticals.
Okay, so would you rather be the Iowa Hawkeyes, who once every 5 years put together a magnificent run? It was short of magnificent this year. It had the makings of being magnificent.
There was, yeah.
Real playoff hopes every once in a while. Or would you rather be a team like Purdue, who just seems to have a knack of once a year at least just upsetting the fuck out of a team or two, and having those games be your Super Bowl? Because you don't really have many expectations as Purdue, but those games, these last 2 weeks for Purdue, I guarantee they feel as good, if not better, than any game we've been a part of the last
Penn
10 years.
State?
The Ohio State game was basically
the same thing. Yeah.
But we did it. And the Michigan game the year before that, same kind of situation. So basically you're asking, would you rather be within the last 5 to 10 years an Iowa or a Purdue fan? I'm going to say Iowa because we've had more consistent success. And, even though the mountaintops have not been, super high, I don't know. Purdue happens to be the greatest college football team of all time when they're playing a top five
exactly.
opponent when they're unranked, and they're just, the most pedestrian team ever every other week. But, if we're saying which you know, which fan would I rather be, I'm going to go with Iowa because the sustained success has been there more consistently. Like, yeah, we haven't had, like, several wins against top five opponents, like, you know, early, like one every season or whatever, but it still feels better to win, like, at least 9 games every year instead of, like, 5 or 6 that Purdue usually does.
Joey, nothing personal. That was a stupid fucking question.
Well, that's just the thing. My argument is like they don't have to sweat it out. They could just go into every week, like, you know.
But I think that they do. Like, I'm sure that their fans do the same shit. Like, every week they expect to win. Like, they're disappointed if they don't. But, like, yes. I don't know.
Like, we've beaten – it was more than just Michigan, Ohio State. 2 years ago, we beat Minnesota when they were number 8. This year, we beat Penn State when they were number 4. Like, it's not like we're not winning big games.
The point I'm trying to make is it's probably easier to be a Purdue fan.
Oh, I'm sure that it is because – as Iowa fans, we do this stupid thing where we twist ourselves into believing that we can actually be, like, an elite caliber football team on any given season, which is just simply not the reality. Like, we're not on the same tier as the Alabamas or the Ohio States of the world, but we do these mental gymnastics at the start of every season and think, well, if this person does this and this person does that and we catch a couple breaks, we can be there. And then when we end up with a 9 or 10 win season with some disappointing losses sprinkled in there, we're doing what I'm doing on this podcast, just being like, I'm just upset because of what could have been. And if you're a Purdue fan, you never have those type of, like, that high of aspirations. You're just like, we're going to be what we're going to be, but every once in a while, we're just going to beat somebody that we have no right beating, and we're going to kind of kick the shit out of them doing it.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather be a Hawkeye fan. I would say
easy for you to say as a Hawkeye fan.
I would say like once every 8 years or so, we are on a top 5 level.
No. 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 No.
Yes.
We trick ourselves into thinking
Joey.
We are.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with Joey because in 2015, so which is the most recent example before this year, what you're thinking of, we went 12-0. And you don't apologize for it because that's what we did. But our schedule was kind of not great that year. Then in the biggest game of the year, we lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship game. And then we went in the Rose Bowl and got absolutely shit stomped. And it kind of proved that we weren't on the level that we thought we were. And then this year, we got up to number 2 and then promptly scored 14 points total in the next 2 games to prove that we really weren't on that top 5, you know, top 10 level. And so, what, 2009 or 8, whatever, is going to be your next example. And, yeah, that one's maybe a little bit different if Ricky Stanzi doesn't get injured. But then kind of before that. 2002? I don't know.
We even won the Big Ten in 2004, co-Big Ten champions.
Okay, so that was 17 years ago.
No, yeah, so you go 2015, 2009, we were certainly there until Stanzi got hurt.
I'd say 2009 is more of an argument than 2015 in terms of us being closer to a top 5.
Oh,
I don't think – like this year in 2015, we buy in to our own hype about Iowa, about being as good as we perceive them to be because me and Joey have talked about it on the podcast before. That's kind of the point of being a fan is being stupid and irrational and riding the roller coaster to the highs. But, like, in this year and in 2015, when it came time to put on the big boy pants and prove that we belong where our ranking said that we were, we fell short of what those, you know, what that ranking was supposed to be for us. So, well, yes, our ranking was up there in the tippy-tippy top. When compared to the teams that are consistently sitting there, our product was not on the same level.
Fire Brian Ferentz.
Yes, preach.
Also, I'm not going to say this team already... I'm not going to say this team didn't have the talent to be up in the top 5 all year because I do think they did.
One side of the ball does. 2/3 of the sides of the ball do. Not the offense.
The offense has the weapons too.
No, we have one offensive lineman and wide receivers and a running back. You need a whole offensive line and a quarterback.
I get what Luke's saying. Like the personnel, like in terms of skill position players, are there outside of quarterback, which obviously is like the biggest piece of the equation when it comes to an offense in college football, really football in general. But I see where Luke is coming from, where he's like, we do have supremely talented guys at positions that you need to have supremely talented guys to be considered like an elite level team. We just don't have enough of it together, which is why I agree with Joey. Like, our offense is the thing that holds us back, especially this year, from being in that like top level conversation.
And it's 15, maybe, it's, probably.
It's not like we're getting 2 and 3 stars anymore. We're getting 3 and 4 stars. Like, the talent on the team is literally great when it's coming in.
I don't really care about the stars thing either. I just care about like actual performance. And that's just, I mean, put our offensive line up against, I don't know, Georgia or Alabama, anybody in the top 5, it's not nothing.
All right.
Also, I don't know if we've already revisited this, but do you guys still think that, I know you're both on the record saying that this team was better than 2015?
I think there's more talent, yes.
Yes, I'll still stick with that. And
I think that if you put C.J. Beathard on this year's team, we're probably undefeated. If we put C.J. Beathard...
Okay. Okay, you'll take the quarterback, 2015. We take offensive line, 2015 or 2021?
2015.
Okay. Tight end, 2015. Receiving
corps, I would say tight end for 2015 because they had two good tight ends. I've told you this. Kittle's stats, yeah. He wasn't a great college tight end.
He's better than LaPorta.
All right.
So
wide receivers, no doubt this year.
21, not even close.
Goodson.
Yeah, running back. I'm taking 2021, Goodson.
And then
Potterbaum.
Special teams. I'm taking special this teams. Year.
Who was our punter in 2015? Doesn't matter. We always scored.
I think it was Ron Caluzzi, actually.
Yeah,
we scored all the time, so it didn't matter. Who's the return man?
Dez.
I don't know, but I'm taking Charlie Jones.
Dez King.
Dez was good.
Yeah, Dez King.
Charlie Jones was.
Okay, but he didn't go. Dez King didn't go pro because he was a kick returner.
No, but he was a good return man.
But Charlie Jones is a great return man. I'm taking Charlie Jones if we're doing strictly return.
That's a tough one because like that's just a mostly recency bias on my part because like there's a lot of Charlie Jones returns from like this season and last season where like they're fresh in my mind and. I don't know, like on a weekly basis, because everybody remembers like if you take one back to the house, but who was like consistently better at just getting like good positive yardage on kick returns? I don't really remember that much about Dez King in that facet, but like Charlie Jones is currently doing it. That one's probably just more recency bias on my part.
Okay, so go to the secondary then. So then you have to go Dez King there, right? He was all pro in the NFL.
Oh.
And Maben also played in the NFL, still plays in the NFL.
Our safeties were Jordan Lomax and John Loudermilk.
I don't know if he plays. What?
Our safeties were Jordan Lomax and John Loudermilk. I would probably...
No slouches.
Well, yeah, but neither is Corner, Merriweather. Like, what... they're very much on the same plane, in my opinion.
I think safeties are probably pretty close to the same.
And it's tough to... Hankins and Moss, like Hankins were having great seasons until Moss got hurt. And I don't know.
They're both very good, but I mean,
I would have liked to see Riley Moss be able to play this whole season without injury because like he was tied for the nation's lead in interceptions when he went down.
Okay, Josie Jewell or Jack Campbell?
That's actually kind of like
this feels also like I feel like Jack Campbell is a good case, but I feel like if I took him, that would also be recency bias because Josie Jewell is like one of the great Hawkeyes ever.
Yeah, and Jack Campbell, like if he plays another season, like I think that they're probably equal, honestly. But like I think that like we have Dane Belton this year; he's better than any of like I don't know. We played a different defensive alignment back then too. Like we weren't playing the 4-2-5, so like Belton wouldn't have really slotted in there at all. But he's got 4 interceptions this year. I think that he absolutely would have been a starter on that defense.
And, like, it's tough to judge Justin Jenkins. or is that what they said that one game? Whatever.
I think they called him Justin Jenkins, yeah.
It's tough to compare him to, like, Anthony Hitchens or Christian Kirksey, too, yes. Because they're both in the NFL, but Jacobs is...
This is Jacobs' first year.
This is Jacobs' first year getting full-time playing, basically. So it's and he's looking very good. But it's tough to say.
It's three guys that still play in the NFL at a high level.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but it's a tough – like, you can't be like that's the end-all, be-all, because the guys that are currently on the team haven't had an opportunity to be in the NFL yet.
All right, let's revisit in 5 years.
All right, make note.
I'm just saying, there was a lot of pro talent on that team that is actually still in the league.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
And I think this team has a decent amount of pro talent, too. So, but
I just can't say the team is better due to the offense. That's my thing.
To wrap up football chatter here, Wisconsin has to lose one. Their remaining schedule is Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota. We have to win out. We have Minnesota, Illinois, and Nebraska. And Purdue has to lose to Ohio State. That's the bottom line, how to get to Indy. We'll see if it happens. Probably not. I don't think Wisconsin's going to lose. So
Wisconsin's defense is an absolute fucking wagon right now.
Yep. But we'll move on to basketball season now. Coming in, last year we were number 5 in the country in the preseason polls. Had all of the expectations in the world.
I tell you what, we did a really good job of doing that stupid thing where we convince ourselves that we're like national title caliber in basketball the same way as we did in football.
Well, it's a little easier in basketball because we had the best player in the whole entire nation.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's nice coming into the season without expectations. Because I know we have a good, young, athletic team. Kind of something we haven't had ever.
I think that will be, like, we're obviously not going to be as good this season as we were last year. I think that this year's team is probably going to be a lot more enjoyable to watch. Because, like, don't get me wrong, it was awesome watching Garza just dominate people night in and night out. But there's going to be a lot more, like, flash and excitement and, like, tempo, which is kind of tough to say with an Iowa offense because that's kind of what they're known for. And, like, just athleticism on the court more consistently this year than there was last year. So, like, we won't be as good as a team. We're going to lose more games because we're young. We don't have, like, the experience or whatever. But I'm very, very excited to watch this year's team play basketball.
It is going to be fun. I mean, we have literally athleticism at every position, and getting to the game last night against Longwood, great name. Like even J-Bo looked.
He looked awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He was 6 for 8 on threes. 18 points.
If that's how he's going to look in his new role. He could stay for 6 more years, because that is exactly how that's the position he realistically probably should have been playing for the last few years.
Shooting guard. Yeah.
He had 18 points in 17 minutes, the second leading scorer on the team, and all of his shots were from three. That's what I want to see.
That's literally what his role on this year's team is. He's a floor spacer. He's a three-point specialist. Like he's not like a slasher, a drive-to-the-hoop type of guy, and he's not like a crazy good ball handler. His best asset is his three-point shooting ability, and if that's what we're going to see from him all year, sign me the fuck up right now. Because that's the type of, like, you get him cooking from three like that, it opens up things in the middle for, like, Keegan Murray to get into the lane and stuff like that. And speaking of, like, three-point shooting, Keegan Murray was boning the threes last night, too. He was doing everything, filling up the stat sheet. He is so goddamn good.
Let me just run down some stats quick from last night. Keegan had 24 points, seven rebounds, and 5 blocks.
In 17 minutes.
He played 2 second-half minutes.
Pat McCaffrey had 11 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. Joe T. had 9 points on perfect shooting.
I like his three-point stroke.
His three-point stroke looks wet.
It was confident, which is the most important thing, really.
And he had 4 assists and 4 steals, so love that. And then off the bench, Chris Murray, 16 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks, and a partridge in a pear tree. Other than that, Peyton Sanford looked really good, I thought. Tony Perkins looked all right.
Sanford went 2 for 7 from 3. I mean, I like that I like shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot. But
he also
had,
I don't know. It was his first real game, too. I mean, he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
And he still, like, he found other ways to score outside of just the 3, which was nice. You know how, like, basketball specifically has, like, really random stats that people will tweet out as if, like, it's a huge accomplishment? Like, this is the first player ever to have, like, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 7 steals. You know, they get, like, super hyper-specific about, like, the stat they're doing. I saw somebody tweet today and they're like, 40 combined points is the most points ever scored by a pair of sophomore twins at Iowa who are the son of a former Iowa player like from 20 years ago or whatever. It was just kind of like mocking that, talking about the Murrays. It cracked me up.
Yeah.
I didn't do a very good job of explaining that, but it was funny to me.
And then Euless got in with 6 points. Connor had 3 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. Or no, just 7 rebounds. And then Austin Ashe, bad night, 0 for 3, but went 3 of 4, 4 from the stripe. 86% from the line as a team, though, so that was good.
Yeah, that is huge. 19 of 22. Because that seems to be one of our flaws almost every year.
Every goddamn year.
I mean, it might just seem like this. I'm sure it's higher, but it seems like we're a 65 to 75% free throw team every year.
I mean, honestly, if you're shooting like 75 as an entire team, that's pretty decent. But yeah, that's one of those things where it's almost certainly never as bad as you think it is, but you have like one bad game or like you lose one game because of that, and then it's the only thing that you can remember about it.
Also, only turned it over 8 times last night. That's pretty nice to see.
One thing, what's up with a Gundelay? I don't remember reading anything that he was hurt.
I don't either. And I remember, like, I saw, like, Fran was quoted early in the year because they were saying how, like, Iowa's probably going to run with a lot of small ball this year with Rebraca. Isn't it actually, they're saying, like, Rebraca on, I don't know.
Don't like that.
Neither do I. But anyway, if he's like our starting center, which is what our starting five is going to be, it's like he's, what, 6'9"? So we play a lot of small ball, and that's just what we're going to do, and I'm fine with that. But then Fran did say, like, when we're playing teams like Illinois and Wisconsin, when they've got, like, Cockburn and Teske? Is that his name? No.
No.
Teske's he's a different big guy from Michigan, right?
It's Dickinson.
Dickinson, yeah. Like, he said that when we're playing teams that have traditional big bigs like that a Gundelay would get in. So I don't know if he has just like some type of minor injury that he didn't play at all last night, because I thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah, but they 106-73. I texted one of my cousins. I said, that's about as good of a first game as you could have imagined this season, because literally everything looked improved. Is that fair to say?
No.
I mean, the defense was.
Yeah.
Although 73 is still a little bit more than I wish they would have given up, but also, I mean, you got to factor in that our starters were not playing, like, at all in the second half, so.
And they covered.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think that we're going to, if it's possible, I think that we're going to play at a higher tempo this year than we did last year.
I mean, that's just way more possible, too, because, I mean, as good as Luka was,
he was slow as shit.
Not good on the break.
It looked like he was running through molasses.
But there's a good chance we start the season 12-3 this year, and those 12 wins are going to be over teams that are pretty terrible.
Horrible.
Hey, we could beat Virginia. They lost to Navy last night.
Did they really?
Yeah.
So that's not even going to be a good win if we beat them now.
You guys, Ohio State had to win on a buzzer beater against Akron.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's looking like an easy. That's a layup.
But I don't know how that gotten.
We have a tough stretch. What is it? We play at Virginia, at Purdue, and then home Illinois. Three game stretch there in the middle of the beginning of December.
I want to brawl against Illinois this year.
Yeah. Man, I tell you what, I can already just envision us losing by 25 at Purdue when we were like out of the game after like the first media timeout. That just feels like one of those that's going to happen.
That's
again
how
this
you know.
Season.
That's how you know nature's healing.
No, we're not supposed to beat them this year, so I think we're going to win.
They're going to hit like conservatively 17 of 19 threes against us, more than likely. It's going to be some white dude.
Man, two misses, huh? Two misses. But yeah, again, it's Longwood, and as we said, none of the teams we play are very good in non-conference aside from Virginia. Iowa State won yesterday with six transfers. Yeah. You gotta sweep the teams in the non-conference, because if the off chance that you're sitting there on Selection Sunday with 19 wins and you have one loss against a non-conference team, it's not going to be good. So,
yeah, I mean, I think most people kind of inside and outside of like the Iowa program, fan base, whatever, think of Iowa as like a bubble team this year, like could be in, could be out, depending on how a couple games break for us. So it's pretty imperative that they don't lose an absolute stinker in their non-conference, because that would for sure be like a quadrant four loss. And if you're sitting on the bubble, that's going to be just like your death sentence when it comes to Selection Sunday.
Yep. With that being said as well, though, even if we do sweep our non-conference, we're still going to have to win some big ones in Big Ten play to get in. Because
yeah, our non-con is doing the only thing that our non-conference can do for Iowa when it, you know, would come to Selection Sunday is just torpedo it. Because if they have a loss, then we're pretty well fucked, unless we have some like just enormous wins throughout the year. But like, we're not building a resume by beating the Longwoods of the universe.
So now let's touch on the women's game here a little bit, because I mean, they're the number nine team in the country. Caitlin Clark, certified killer still. There is absolutely, she's amazing. 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Sonano, 14 points, 6 rebounds. She led the nation in field goal percentage last year, so she's keeping par with what she did last year. And then Warlock, 12 points, 5 rebounds. So, I know we're not huge women's basketball fans, but it's something to root for. Like, everybody's really excited for the team this year.
Yeah, no, like I said, after the UConn game last year, like, I admitted that was the first, like, from start to finish, full women's game that I'd watched, but it was very entertaining. Like, they play a very similar style that the men do, which is like offense first, fast pace, score a lot of points. Like, that's the type of basketball that I want to watch. So I have nothing wrong with it. And it does it, like, when you have Caitlin Clark out there, who is like one of the top three best players in the entire country, who's filling it up from everywhere, shooting it from the parking lot, like slashing the lane, doing whatever. Like, they're fun to watch. I'll be at some games this year. I'm certain of that. So,
yeah, Caitlin Clark plays like Steph Curry, kinda. Like, she isn't afraid of anything. She does whatever the hell she wants on that floor. It is phenomenal to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, they're ranked number 9 right now. They're only going to get better, too, because so Caitlin Clark is a sophomore, and, like, in women's basketball, people don't really leave early, at least to my knowledge, kind of at all. They don't leave early to go to the WNBA. So she's going to be here for this full season and two full seasons more. Today was signing day. I don't know if it was early signing day. I think it's early signing day, not national signing day. But, so, like, the men's team had their two recruits for this year's or next year's class come in, DeSante Bowen and
Josh Dix.
The guy from Josh Dix, yep. And so those are both good gets for the men's team. And then the women's team had three players sign, and all three of them are ESPN top 100 rated recruits in their class. So we're taking the number 9 team that we currently have with Caitlin Clark, and we're adding like elite level talent coming into that team for the future. Like, by the time Caitlin Clark is a senior, this team is going to be crazy good.
And we were bragging about Iowa's free throw percentage. Last night, the women shot 96.4%.
Who was the jackass that missed one free throw?
Warnock.
You idiot.
Yeah, good one. But yeah, Clark, yeah. They will make a run this year. They got hosed last year getting stuck in UConn's bracket in the NCAA tournament. But this team will be...
beat the best to be the best.
Barring injury, this will be a top two seed in the NCAA tournament come March. All right. Anything else want to run here or no? Otherwise, we'll get to the second portion.
It's not basketball related, and we kind of just glossed over this team's name, and I mentioned this specific coach once, but it's something that that humors me, so it's kind of worth talking about. So Nebraska said that Scott Frost will be coming back next season, even though they're going to have another year of a losing record under him, which is the fourth consecutive, cracks me up. And also, to kind of cover for himself, Scott Frost fired literally his entire offensive staff, which is just like, I'd imagine that doesn't make you feel great if you're a recruit coming in to Nebraska when your coach has been a dumpster fire, basically his entire career at Nebraska as a coach anyway, and then their offense, which was kind of like the best part of their team, Scott Frost just decided to do a fire sale and get rid of everybody.
Yeah, that is...
And don't get me wrong, I am A-okay with that. Keep Scott Frost at Nebraska for as long as possible. Because
absolutely.
As long as he's there... Well, first of all, Nebraska's never going to be what Nebraska fans... like. Nebraska now is never going to be what Nebraska was in the 90s, and their fans are delusional to think otherwise. But with Scott Frost there, they fight tooth and nail to even be bowl eligible. So keep him there for forever, because it's hilarious to see the delusion in their fan base while also watching their product on the field, which they're like, they just cannot stop stepping on their dick in the biggest moments. It's hilarious.
It is great. It is great. Yeah, that makes me feel better about the Nebraska game a little bit, that they fired everybody on their offense. But, I think that's all the sports notes we got. If we think of any, we'll rattle them off at the end like usual. But we're going to hit an ad from our sponsor before we get to our draft of favorite, what is it, recreational sports to play?
Just favorite sports to play, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not if you were to be a professional and you were playing. It's just sports that you your favorite sports to play currently, as you are.
All righty. But we're going to hit an ad from Rolling Hills Heritage Pork out of Farley, Iowa, Wesley Henderson. We know it's Floyd of Rosedale week. We know there's going to be bacon frying up on a Saturday morning. Hey, we're having breakfast we're having breakfast burritos at our tailgate. Going to have a little bacon there as well.
Bacon-wrapped pickles.
Bacon-wrapped pickles, courtesy of Joey. Stin's bringing, I'm bringing the soft shells, spiked hot chocolate, and the toppings. Stin's bringing everything else. It's just going to be a great, great spread at our tailgate. But reach out to Wes Henderson with Rolling Hills Pork. His phone number is 319-461-5520. It's going to be a great week to be a Hawkeye, especially when you're out tailgating, munching on some bacon early. So reach out to him. That's Wes Henderson, 319-461-5520. All righty, so what's the draft order?
I went first last time, so I'll go last.
I might be first this week. I don't really know. I think,
I think it's Luke.
Is it? I have no
you
idea.
You were second last time,
it's
too.
Been,
yeah.
It's been.
But you'll be first next.
And literally, I don't care, so.
All right, I'll go last.
How many are we doing
here?
Going
last.
I'd say do three.
Okay.
Is that good with you?
I could do four, probably.
Okay.
Well, maybe not.
It's going to be tough. Let's start with three.
Let's start going and figure out how we feel.
So it's me.
Yep.
Then who?
Then me.
Stin.
All righty. So my first pick, it's going to be straight nostalgia pick because we played it all the time growing up in our backyard. We're going with some tennis ball, baseball, whatever you want to call it in our backyard growing up. It's important to note, we did not play with wiffle balls.
Well, we did for a period of time, but they always broke, so we ended up transferring.
Also, it was better to play with tennis balls because you could hit tanks.
Yeah, with the metal bat. That's one sport, though. Right?
Yeah, baseball, wiffle ball.
Baseball?
Yeah, baseball.
Yeah, Luke was getting more specific with that. Yeah, I'd say that you have to just call that baseball because that's like a – you got too specific with the version of the sport.
We even took it as serious back in the day where I had a home run tracker. After every day we'd play, I'd come in and tally. Joey was a home run king one time, weren't you?
Oh, fuck yeah.
He also led the league in hitting his fucking kitchen window with foul balls in a row on purpose.
A surefire way to piss off the rest of the people playing was just to – just to step out of the box and crank a foul ball at the house every time, 15 times in a row.
Yeah.
And 95% of those games ended with just a huge argument.
Yeah, there was never a winner or a loser. It was somebody got hit in the face with a ball, and then it turned into a fight, and then everybody went
or
home.
Somebody thought they were safe, and they weren't.
Yeah, classic.
All right, Stin.
All right. I'm going to go – this is tough. I want to pick one thing, but I also think that I can slide another one in as, like, my comeback pick. But I don't – I really don't want to lose that pick either.
But you can't because I have two picks in a row, and you and I probably like the same shit.
Yeah, probably.
Shot clock.
Yeah.
Three.
Okay.
Two.
I'm going to go with some – it's pretty similar to Luke's, but we're going to go with some slow-pitch softball.
Very fun.
Yeah, specifically I'm talking about Chuck and Duck, you know, 6 to 12. Just a great, you know, kind of beer league sport to play now at this age.
Make sure you're in a league where there's no try hard hardo.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get out there with a bunch of dudes that are hitting, like fucking 500-foot bombs every night.
Not even that. Like, I try to hit home runs. I try out there, but I'm not – basically you don't want to play against people that take it so seriously.
Don't be an asshole. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, especially during the summer, it's a great beer league sport. Like, play on a Wednesday night, go out there for, you know, an hour and a half or whatever, have a couple drinks, shoot the shit with some friends, and have a good time out there.
Yeah. All right,
I'm
Joey.
I'm always a little leery of any team that has uniforms or
If all pants. Of their guys show up wearing pants.
Yeah, that's when you know they're going to be coming for some knees.
All right, Joey.
So I will go with golf.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
A lot of people really like golf. It's a sport you can play forever and ever. You can be bad at it and still really have a good time.
It's the ultimate drink while you're playing sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good, I like to go golfing occasionally. I'm not very good at it. If it's not a best shot, I don't want to play. I'll say that much.
Also, it is a lot more fun. Tell me another sport where you get to drive a miniature car around the entire time.
That's huge. That's huge for golf.
Yeah.
All right, what's your next pick?
Next one is just a pickup game of basketball.
Okay, good. The pick that I wanted to take.
I know
stage.
What you're going to say now. yeah, but I mean, I've always been a huge fan of playing pickup basketball. I mean, we were in the league at the YMCA in Cedar Rapids a couple years ago, and we won, like, a couple games. We got our asses kicked almost every week, but it was still, like, the highlight of my week during the winter. It's just fun to do. It's a really good workout, too.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, you can – you don't need many people to do that either. Like, you can – one-on-one is –
one-on-one is
– it kind of sucks, but, like, you can literally play, like, as little as two-on-two and have, like, kind of a legit game going. So that's great because, like, you don't need much and you don't need, like, a lot of people. And there's – public basketball courts everywhere, so you can do it kind of anywhere at any time.
It sucks playing on Joey's team because he is the shoot hot to get hot king.
He's the J.R. Smith of players that
I also like to
with.
Have a good pass. Like I don't just dribble up the court and shoot every time, no matter what.
There was one game you crossed half court and shot 16 times in a row or something like that.
I think that's a made-up stat.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that one.
You went 0 for 16 one night, I know for sure, and basically all of them were from the same spot.
Hey, shooter's mentality. You're always gonna, you always got to think that you're going to make the next one.
You just praised Peyton Sanford for it 10 minutes ago.
He made one.
It is great, though. There's nothing better than getting like a full like 5-on-5, like full-court game going, specifically if you were like, at a rec center, if you're playing again, like if the courts are not busy and you can just like kind of have fun with the guys that you're with, or like if you have like a private gym that you can go in with, because I'm not trying to like go to like a public rec center and challenge like another group of guys 5-on-5. Like I'm trying to get like a group of 10 guys that I want to play with and then go and do it that way, because me and Joey and a couple of our roommates from sophomore year tried that out at the rec center here in Iowa, and we got absolutely slaughtered. It was bad. It was like we were playing every guy on the team that we were playing was the best person on their high school team, but was not good enough to play in college. So then they're like, I'm just going to play a bunch of pickup games at the rec center. And they tried way too goddamn hard and just beat the shit out of us. Took one shot. It was a three. I made it and made the conscious decision that I was not going to shoot for the rest of the game because I couldn't have got any better than that. So I didn't.
All right. What's your next pick, Sten?
I'm going to go with volleyball.
Volleyball is
ooh,
awesome.
Good one.
For my next pick. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sand volleyball is kind of better because usually that means it's hot out. Like, you might be by a body of water, which always makes it better. But indoor volleyball is just as fun. I just really, really enjoy playing that sport. And, like, it would be better if I was taller and could jump higher and, like, actually spike it. Because that's got to feel pretty awesome, I would imagine, to just, like, send a missile down at some, like, straight down at somebody's face. But you don't have to be that type of athlete to, like, play volleyball and have a good time with it. I just really enjoy playing that sport.
I love playing volleyball, but we played intramural in college, and everybody else on my team was terrible. That is the most hopeless feeling in the world. Hopeless feeling in
the world. That is true. Like, what I was saying, like, you don't have to be, like, super talented to play it, but, yeah, it is not very fun to play if, like, everybody on your team just fucking sucks and, like, yet nobody ever hits it back over the net or, like, nobody serves it, like, in play. Then it's not fun because it's literally just, like, the other team scores 21 straight points and then the game is over. But, like, if you get some good volleys going back and forth and, like, everybody that you play with is just, like, reasonably athletic, then it's really fun to play.
Alrighty, my pick. This one's just a personal favorite of mine because I'm good at it. I'm going to go with bowling. Yeah. Austin referred to golf as the ultimate drinking sport. I would say bowling is. You can absolutely hammer beer and hell, even have a snack when you're bowling. Plus, I'm good at it, like I mentioned. So
I'd say they're probably tied for drinking sports.
Oh, yeah. I love golfing and drinking. That's phenomenal.
Let's see. I don't know. I think I'm worse at golf when I've been drinking, though.
Oh, sure.
There's absolutely the sweet spot. Like, between beers, like, 4 and 7, you become, like, the greatest version of, like, your ability to golf possible.
You're loose.
And then after that, it's a very steep decline.
You're loose. Everything's flowing well. Also, fun fact, 2/3 of this podcast has a 300. But shout out to Sten for breaking 200 for the first time a couple weeks ago. That's our boy. Right there.
Yeah, I'm sorry my uncle didn't own the bowling alley.
Hey, we didn't start bowling until high school. So.
Yeah, I didn't. It's not like I was over there every night in middle school.
Just saying. You guys had more of an inside track at it than me.
You went there for gym class just like we did.
Okay, and then this one. Badminton is a great sport to play. They actually had a class for it in college. I got an A.
Go ahead. I was going to say, again, badminton's one of those sports where it's fun if you're really fun if you're playing to get somebody of a similar skill level.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who just knows how to play in general. Because, like, if you know the rules and stuff, you're usually both pretty all right at it, at least. But, like I said, fun. Best class I ever took at St. Ambrose.
Nothing more fun than banging the cock around a little.
We're talking about badminton, folks.
Shuttlecocks, baby. Get your heads out of the gutter.
All right, Sten.
Okay, man. So are we just going to do three? Or Let's do four.
I have one you guys won't name, so that's fine.
Okay, so I think I'm pretty sure I have one, too, that I was going to use if we're just doing three, but I'm pretty certain that I can get it with four. So I'm going to go with just a good old game of some two-hand touch football.
Yeah, that's fun.
That you don't have to go out there and risk breaking your leg or something like that trying to tackle everybody.
Although you did roll your ankle last Friday when we were playing.
That was more of a product of the ground being ultra fucking soft.
When we were in middle school, don't you remember I broke my foot in three different places?
Broke foot.
Mm-hmm. No shit.
Yep. Yeah, in Ian Ross's
yard.
Okay,
you know what I mean. Like, I'm not out there like trying to be in full pads, like tackling people. Like two-hand touch, you get the same spirit of the game in there without like the significant risk of bodily injury, especially like a fat, out of shape guy like me. I don't need the extra like potential downfall of like my neck being snapped. Although, and you can have just as much fun doing a little two-hand touch.
Although, like I said, before, we played a little two-on-two last Friday, and I felt the effects of that for a couple days after.
I think that was
just general soreness.
Yeah, that's probably just a product of like not doing that type of dynamic movement in a long time, than like just because of, you know, playing. You know, we didn't stretch. It was kind of cold. We're out of shape. At least I'm out of shape. I shouldn't speak for you.
All right, Joey.
Okay, I'm gonna go with bags. It's just a classic game. I mean, we've all been in some intense bags matches.
Yeah.
And you get a good partner, and that's just...
Honestly, more intense than any game of bags has ever had the right to be.
Yeah.
Specifically, I think most of those happen when people are playing me. People seem to get a lot of pleasure out of defeating me of event or competition.
That's because Austin will get on a heater and be like, oh, nobody ever beats me and Matthew.
We were 20-0, okay?
Yeah,
no, okay.
Who keeps score
okay.
of that?
Also, that was a further down into life thing. Let's not act as if that has not been going on for literally like my entire fucking life.
You're right. It absolutely has.
Well, yeah, I think that's just a case of you making sure people know when you win.
Yeah, because everybody fucking rags on me anyway. So if you guys are going to shit talk me the entire fucking time, I'm going to say my bit when I win. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very fun game.
What's your next one, Joey?
My next one's, I think you guys might like this one, Fortnite. I mean, video games are on ESPN.
Yeah, we didn't. Did we say sports or games?
It's an
e-sport. It's on ESPN.
E-sport, whatever.
Yeah, I think we said games too,
did
actually.
We?
I don't know. Run the tape. But either way, I mean, we play our fair share of Fortnite. Space Cowboy, I'm sure, likes this pick. It's fun. It's a good way to get the boys together when you can't actually be there in person. That's my favorite thing about it.
And to just blow off some steam as well.
Yeah. Nothing better than just murking some 10-year-olds on Fortnite.
Get shit on, kid.
Stin.
We're cracked! okay, with my last pick, I'm going to go with pickleball. And I'm not talking about the one where, like, not pickle when you're throwing the tennis ball at each other. I'm talking about, like, the simpler version of tennis.
I've never actually played.
It's very fun.
I don't think it's simpler.
No, it 100% is. The ball's not coming at you at, like, 100 miles an hour.
It's easier.
I don't understand that. I don't even know the rules.
It's almost exactly the same as tennis, except there's, like, at the very front next to the net, there's, like, a 4-foot box that you can't stand in unless, like, the ball hits the ground inside that box first. But besides that, it's literally, like, the ball can only hit the ground one time. You have to hit it over the net, like...
All I know
inbound.
Is that it's basically the people that play it are 90-year-old men and pregnant women, so it can't be harder than tennis.
No, it's definitely not. It's fun. It's very fun to play. If you're ever in West Des Moines, go to Smash Park. It's like a pickleball / just like outdoor games bar in general.
I think Austin's family owns a majority share of that place.
Paul Myers is in love with Smash Park. I'm saying, if you're ever in West Des Moines, make a stop there. It's very fun.
And then with my last pick, it's going to be another nostalgic pick. I'm going with Hacky Sack. My motto for West Dubuque bowling when I was in high school was you were either good at bowling, good at pool, good at Hacky Sack, or you smoked weed. I wasn't good at pool and I didn't smoke weed, but I was really good at Hacky Sack and I'm pretty good at bowling. So, if you're not, you never kick the sack around. What was that?
Yeah, we did that.
There's nothing like banging the sack.
I said, you gotta get nothing like banging the sack around. You get a good crew banging the sack around. It's a good time.
five guys all banging sack.
Yeah. But do you guys have any honorable mentions? I have one.
I got one as well.
I also have one.
All right, we'll just snake back around. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay. Mine is from gym class at LaSalle. It was floor hockey.
Ooh. Oh,
that was shit clapped.
Speaking of games that got more intense than they ever had the right to be.
Basically, like it's field hockey on the floor, on the gym floor. So
yeah, that was great.
Elite game.
Go ahead, Stint. Oh, this is not my honorable mention, but another gym class game from LaSalle, prison pinball. I used to love that shit.
Yeah, or just like kind of dodgeball in general. Yeah. That made me like when you said gym class sport, like that kind of came to mind. Like everybody loves a good game of dodgeball. But then I was gonna say soccer. I don't really play it anymore. I did a lot when I was younger, but if you have like full teams going against each other, soccer is just a really fun sport to play.
I played pickup soccer one time and it was very fun. It's just hard to get enough people to play soccer.
The field's too big. If you're just playing like pickup soccer, if the field was like shorter, that'd be perfect.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to run up and down the whole thing.
Well, it's not like we have.
Remember,
when you're playing pickup soccer, most people are fat out of shape dudes. So.
All right, Joey.
My honorable mention is darts.
Yeah.
Lawn darts, beer darts.
No. Bar darts. I think it's the superior bar game. I am not a fan of billiards myself.
Me either.
Playing pool. I haven't done it in a long time, but I like shooting the stick.
I much rather would play darts.
All right. Is that all?
I'm sure not, but we should probably stop.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a long one going here.
Euchre.
Sure. I haven't played that in a minute, though.
This all depends if we said – you'll have to run it back. You'll have to see if we said sports or games.
I think that we said sports. At least that's what the prompt was when I texted you guys earlier today. We may have evolved it into games, but we can let Bags and Fortnite slide because there is like professional people that play Bags and Fortnite. I don't know that there's like actual sports leagues dedicated to playing euchre. That seems much more like a game than a sport.
Yeah. Although at St. Ambrose, they did used to have tournaments with like good prizes, and we would have symbols for like what we wanted to do.
Oh, so you were cheating bastards.
We never won.
I don't care.
You ruined the integrity of the game.
Oh, my God. You are scum. You are the Houston Astros of playing euchre.
Who's the head of the St. Ambrose Euchre Club? Can I have their phone number? I'm going to call and
report you.
Oh,
my God.
I'm going to have your championships revoked.
You are such a trash.
We never
person.
Had a championship. Before
good.
We.
I'm glad.
Yeah, no shit.
Before we wrap up, I do want to give a shout-out to this dude on Twitter. Some Iowa fan yesterday, 2 days ago, tweeted, "What Hawkeye football podcast should I be listening to?" And this guy named Kirk's dog tweeted at this guy and said, HTR_pod is my go-to. So shout out to Kirk's dog, @swarm_hawk, if you want to check him out. Round of applause.
I've always been a Kirk's dog fan myself.
Biggest fan out there.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hot seat. Lucas Lee.
Ooh, that's going to take a lot.
Yeah.
Kirk's dog, you're going to have to show up. With beer at our tailgate.
Yeah, that is true. But if we have nothing else to talk about, we'll wrap up this episode. Going once, twice. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podbean. You can follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. The Instagram and Twitter handle is HTR_pod. You can follow all three of us on Twitter. My Twitter is Myers_Luke. Joey's is JoeMama2196. And Austin's is MyersAustin. Let's take down Minnesota. Keep Floyd home this weekend. Basketball teams keep rolling here. And as always, go Hawks.
And fuck Nebraska.